Well, good morning and welcome, everyone, to Live Dharma Sunday for August 2nd, 2015. Koyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. One big topic in California is forest fires. I was reading one newspaper article that said, gee, I can't remember now, how many fires are burning right now? Quite a few. Maybe 8,000 firefighters are engaged. And on the topic of forest fires, I think it's very interesting how it's changed from the old view that forest fires are bad, period. It was a very yes-no kind of thing. But now we find out it's a little more dynamic. Several decades ago, the campaign was Smokey the Bear. No forest fires. Be careful. No forest fires. And then we learned that forest fires also do good things. How is that possible? Well, what I understand, I may be incomplete or rather shallow knowledge about it, but something like, you know, when nature is such that lightning causes some forest fires, and clears away the underbrush, renews the forest, and also that there's certain species of pine that the pine cones, they don't open up unless they're heated up a lot, like with a fire. And then they'll open up and they drop their seeds. Okay. And then if the underbrush is cleared away, then this is the way that the seeds can fall into the soil and get sunlight, and the forest will renew itself in the long run. So now, realizing this more dynamic situation, sometimes the authorities have controlled burns. What is the best situation? I think this is the way it is in a lot of situations in human life too, where, well, thought it was like this, then we found out, is this better than this? What's the best way to feed a baby? Okay. What's the best way to do this, or what's the situation in this kind of thing? Over the decades, our times of flip-flops. Well, we thought breastfeeding, I thought bottle feeding, or think of other examples. So the question, what is the best situation, is not simple answered. We would like to think that, you know, like before, we would say, no fires. Okay, you know, in the same way in human life, you might think, those things that we consider bad, like a little failure, some hardships, we don't want any of them. But maybe, well, if we look at, consider it nature, human life, nobody goes through life with all getting what they want and things turning out the way they want. Maybe there's some wisdom in the natural order of things. A little bit of failure and hardship. Without that, maybe you couldn't survive. Couldn't live. We get so soft. We get so... I don't know. But I do know that the question, what is the best situation? It's not a simple one. It's not a black and white one, you know. And that's not a bad thing. Okay, well, those are some of my musings this morning on that topic, but I want to introduce today's guest to give us a Dharma glimpse. This is Andy Geo, lives in Wisconsin, Milwaukee area. He was part of the first lay minister study program, LM1. And later on, he became the first Trailblazers president. Trailblazers is the resource group for Python lay ministers. And he's quite a writer and poet. And he's going to talk to us today, Andy Geo.
Well, let me start out first with a definition. Free will. It's a noun, and I take this from dictionary.com. The power of acting without the constraint of necessity or fate. The ability to act at one's own discretion. Some synonyms were self-determination, freedom of choice, autonomy, liberty, independence. I'm one tree short of a forest on that, is how I responded to a discussion of free will in a metaphysics class I took at the university last spring semester. Everyone in class, all junior or senior philosophy majors, took the determinist position, except me. Granted, I hadn't had a philosophy course in 46 years. Determinism maintains that all actions, events, and thoughts are pre-existent or predetermined. There is never anything existing as such that is new in and of itself. Everything has a previous cause. Just because we can't figure out what caused the so-called spontaneous event, they all said, doesn't mean it was free will. It just means we don't have sufficient data or knowledge to know the cause or causes of that event. And the notion of karma seems to suggest the same thing. And I was certainly reminded on that matter. And yet, what about Archimedes' eureka moment in the bath over the gold crown problem? Something sparked there, spontaneous, without any precedent to my mind. Philo Taylor Farnsworth was suddenly struck with a solution on how to transmit pictures over the airwaves while standing in a plowed field. Going outside the lines of pre-existing notions and thought processes. Where did that come from? And how can anything new happen without some instance of free will? Everything isn't static. We're definitely not using the same tools we used 1,000 years ago, let alone 100. Okay, rant done. I'm not a determinist. I also don't hold to a radical view of non-determinism either, that it's all free will and spontaneity. I will admit that most things are determined and predictable, whether we know all the circumstances or not, but I take the middle way between the two. Going back to karma. It refers to the spiritual principle of cause and effect, where the intent and actions of an individual cause influence the future of that individual effect. including the corollary that the actions of our previous life caused the situations that constitute our current life, which would be the effect. Dogen, the 13th century founder of Soto Zen, maintained while teaching monastics that karma is not the be-all deterministic factor of your life, that there was a way out right now. When he later opened up to the lay community, he appears to have reversed course and maintained that it was all about your karmic determination and the need to accept your karmic situation in this life. Yes and no. I think Dogen Sensei was one tree short of the forest by teaching this way, with a bunch of political astuteness thrown in. Imagine the trouble he'd get into telling everyone that there was a way out of their situation in society. He had been in enough trouble already. It was, I submit, just a different emphasis, a different breaking out of our way of looking to say the same thing. The Dharma, the teachings of Buddha, give us the tools to break out of our predetermined thought patterns into the spontaneous territory of the free will. Dangerous enough for any time. We are entangled in the vines of our own thinking, the influence of friends and family, our culture, our manner of learning, even our genetic complex. We complicate it all by only paying attention to the familiar, what we agree with. The Buddha tells us not to stay where we are, in a sense, to get out of our boxes, bound by our predetermined thinking and predictableness. What were his last words? All component things in the world are changeable. They are not lasting. Strive with earnestness in your own awakening. Notice he didn't give us all the rules, in effect, just putting us in another box. He just sets us up for our own unpredictable journey into the forest of trees with all the entangled roots and vines that is our life. Be the forest for the trees, my friends. See the forest for the trees, but don't be bound by them. Be that one tree short of the forest. The world will be better for it. Arigato. Thank you.
Wow, well, there's some deep things. We talk about this philosophical aspects, and it is an interesting analogy or metaphor to use the forest and trees and how to view what is the attitude one should have toward one's life, toward human life. And I think an important attitude or an important approach is that some things don't need to be answered to be valuable, in terms of the process. To struggle with a particular question or topic, not because you have to come to a definite answer. Just like if I wanted to tie this into my comments about forest fires, we don't have to go in saying what is the best situation. What is the best position? What is the best such and such? But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't struggle with certain questions, certain aspects of a situation, because that's the way we grow. That's the way our knowledge increases. And we don't have to ever conclude. When you conclude, you're finished. And I don't think we'll ever be finished. In scientific knowledge or in spirituality, individual spirituality. Someone might say we're finished from the outside, but that's not the internal reality of how things are. Someone could say we're finished, but in that case, we're finished for that cross-section of time, and it pertains to that time and place. we are finished. There's an asterisk on it. There are no periods in life. It's always a comma. Hey, pretty good, huh? Pretty good. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going, and you have a very wonderful day. Thank you.